Recording is on.
Welcome everybody to the New Hampshire Exit the New Hampshire Exit podcast, where we discuss the New Hampshire Independence Drive in 2022. A request that if you're not speaking, you mute your mic. Since we do have podcast listeners, obviously later on, probably. And I will go ahead and do that and see if you guys have anything to tell us. Welcome, Stephen and Jordan.
How you doing, Dave?
Hello, how are you?
Thanks for returning, Jordan. And of course for Stephen, although you've returned many times, Stephen. So let's see, I'm Dave Ridley, and we're joined by Stephen Axelman. Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com or NHExit.com, depending on how you look at it. And Stephen Axelman, Rabbi Axelman. I don't know, other than your synagogue, I do not know what organization you represent, but it's nice to have you here.
Liberty Block and Americans United for Peaceful Separation.
I'm going to assume that Stephen has stepped away from the microphone. Unless you had any news or thoughts, either of you, I will go ahead, I guess, and read the latest red meat article raising hell about us.
Dave, you can't hear me? Hello?
Okay, so yeah, actually, I mean, there may be some news I'm missing, but for now, I just have an article in front of me that's got some of the. Oh, hang on. Chris Wade is joining us from thinkpenguin.com, and Steve Axelman says he's talking, but we can't hear him. Before I start droning on reading an article, Chris, do you have any news?
I don't think so.
Okay, Stephen, by the way, it was mentions on the chat that he represents Liberty Block and another organization. I'm trying to open it. Oh, Americans United for Peaceful Separation. So in the absence of something better, I will read this article or part of it. This is in the Conway Daily Sun by Jonna Carter. Quote, and the article starts, quote, Jonna Carter, Linos. New Hampshire's State House is harboring a festering variant, one for which we desperately need a vaccine. I'm not talking about Omicron nor its subvariant, BA2. I haven't even heard of that one. Our state government has been infiltrated by an alien cancer known as the Free State Project. For 20 years, Free Staters have been moving into New Hampshire from away, with every intention of altering the cultural and political landscape to suit some warped idea of libertarianism to which they profess to subscribe. I've said it before, the Free Staters are giving the folks, the Free Staters are the folks giving libertarians a bad name. Of the 50 states, I can think of none more than ours that so proudly leans libertarian. Libertarianism reflects New Hampshire's spirit and history, espousing as it does independence, equality, and personal freedoms. Don't conclude, however, that because the Free Staters have assumed the libertarian moniker, that this makes them so. They've been able to infiltrate state government by cloaking themselves in live free or die, and this pretense has gone largely under the radar. Unquote. Now, she gets more specific about NH Exeters later in the article, but I'll pause in case anybody wants to respond to that part.
I mean, this whole thing is comical.
They'd probably say we're comical.
It's probably true too.
I'll continue the article unless someone has something better to inject. Quote, Free Staters are about as anti-libertarian as you can get. They're absolutely not advocating personal freedom. They're about power and control. Their agenda is one of far-right extremism. The era of Trump has been a boon for these clowns, and it's afforded their ilk a platform and that legitimacy, some standing. They run on the Republican ticket, but neither are they Republicans. In a word, they are fascists. While libertarians are against government overreach, the Free Staters are the very definition of government overreach. They've invaded our schools, our voting booths, and our medical consultations. From threatening teachers to eroding voting rights to stripping women of their right to privacy in the doctor's office, they're more akin to the Gestapo than libertarians. Unquote. And now I'm sure that's going to get some thoughts.
What is he talking about?
Well, I'm sure with the medical thing he must be talking about, there was an abortion law. I don't know if all the Free Staters voted for it, but probably some of them did. You know how it is. Free Staters in the Democrat Party and Free Staters in the Republican Party tend to get absorbed to some extent by the Republican and Democrat parties, and they start acting more and more like Republicans and Democrats the longer they hold office in many cases. Mm. There was something else. There was something she said, or he said. I don't know if it's a man or a woman writing, but there was something that had a tinge of truth to it, and that was well, maybe that's just what it is. I mean, if you think about it again, the Free Staters who are actually in the state house tend to get over influenced by whatever party they're in, and they become too much like the Republicans or Democrats. Does that make sense?
I mean, it sounds to me like they're trying to describe. I mean, I read this story or opinion piece, but it seems to me that they're trying to ascribe the right-wing extremist label, and I think they kind of are saying that, to libertarians, even though that's not actually what libertarians are doing or saying or actions being taken. So.
Anyway, here's where she starts getting into the exiters. She says, quote, "The objective of the Free Staters is not merely to divest us of personal freedoms, but to divest us of our nation. They relocated to New Hampshire to become a force in state government, their ultimate goal being secession from the United States. I recollect this being attempted once before. Trying until recently to downplay the secession idea, they're now ready to activate the plan. This past week, CACR 32 came before the State House Federal Relations and Veterans Affairs Committee, sponsored by Rep. Mike Sylvia. The proposed amendment reads in part, subquote, the state peaceably declares independence from the United States and proceeds as a sovereign nation, unsubquote. Unquote. Hey, by the way, like again, if anyone has got a mic on and they're not talking, just, if you would, please just turn your mic off until you start talking. Okay, but I'll stop and let people interject.
So is she talking about independence from Great Britain? Is her reference?
Yeah, I mean, she really could be, you know, I mean, that's the thing. All you have to do is take whatever argument people make against us, pretty much. You just take it and plug it into 1776 or 1989 Estonia or 1991 Slovenia. And these same arguments, it just sounds like something Belgrade or Moscow would say, or that London would say in 1775.
Yeah, I mean, I think really she's trying to refer to the Civil War and racism and all that, when in reality this is closer to the colonies declaring independence from Britain than a Civil War. But and it's not even that, because nobody's declared war.
Welcome, Ian. Ian Freeman from Free Talk Live is joining us.
Hey guys, I hadn't read that article yet. Definitely had it in show prep for a possibility, but we've been so busy talking about what's happening in Ottawa, and that's why I was a little late today. I was watching some of the live streams from up there after the police had a really heavy-handed crackdown over the past 2 days. Looks like the streets are pretty much empty, and there's like 100 checkpoints set up, and it's pretty crazy. So that's what I've been up to.
It's funny how, you know, yeah, they think that, like, there's nothing else people can do other than walk out into the streets with a sign. They think there's no other activism these people are going to resort to over the internet or over the airwaves or just a thousand other things they could do that are even more effective than being on the street.
Yeah, so as far as like NHX stuff, it's obviously been a slow couple of weeks here since the hearing, or a few weeks, I guess, at this point. They were originally, there was a possibility they were going to hear the CICR 32 in this week's general session, but it wasn't scheduled, and so it didn't happen. So we don't at this point know when they're going to actually hear the bill on the House floor. So there's no news there.
Welcome, Jay, whoever Jay is, or just says Jay.
Yeah, on my screen. My name is Josh Davis.
Welcome, Josh. Is this Hi. Your first time?
First time on this, yes.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
As far as I'm concerned, you have the floor.
Okay. Well, this is Josh Davis. I have two little girls that I'm paying attention to at the same time. Sorry. But yeah, I've been interested in the NH exit stuff for some time. And yeah, the one that tried to organize a couple of the dinners up in Concord. Sorry about that. Yeah,
that's okay. I've
been taking care of two little girls. Yeah, that's about it at the moment. Yeah,
your girls are welcome to address us too if they wish.
So that's about all for me at the moment.
Yeah, thanks for trying to do that. Are you on the Shire forums?
I'm not.
Are you on the NH Exit Telegram group?
I am.
Okay, if you can just let us know stuff like that you're planning on the Telegram group, then I'll post it to the Shire forums and spread it there. Even if you're not on the forums, I can spread it out. And when you sure. put it on NH Exit, it goes straight to Matrix too. So Telegram straight to Matrix, thanks to our brother Mr. Penguin here.
Sounds good. Okay. All right. Are you all done?
Oh, no.
No, I'm sorry. I'm talking to my daughter.
No.
Oh, sit down. Okay. Hold it up like this. There you go. All right.
Josh, do you have, I mean, if you want me to, I can come back to you later when you're more available, or I can ask you some questions now about how you think we can improve things.
Actually, yeah, one thing, I did know, so I'm sort of trying to be a part of the Committee of Safety, and I'm down here in Jaffrey, it's been kind of difficult trying to juggle, you know, the girls and everything and, so reality, as it were, plus dealing with the committee is kind of impossible for me. So what I'm having trouble doing is getting more people onto the Committee of Safety in our county. That's one thing. The other thing is I do know that the goals of NH Exit kind of align with the Committee of Safety, kind of. But I guess the point is it's all liberty. And I kind of feel like these two groups should be at least sort of communicating. That it was just one idea I have to throw out there.
Well, Dan Richard is the Committee of Safety guy, and he actually spoke at the CACR 32 press conference. So Mike Sylvia, the creator of CACR 32, Paulo Axelman, and Dan were the three speakers. So he's definitely in favor of independence for New Hampshire. But yeah, the more that they can integrate this concept, the better. Because, you know, we don't really have an organization like that. We're just sort of just a group of people. But Dan's definitely more of a top-down kind of organized thing, at least from my understanding of Committee of Safety. But you actually been to the meetings. I've only been to one in a year ago. So what are they doing right now?
I don't know precisely what they're doing right now, other than they have classes here and there. One was on common law versus admiralty. Another one was about, gun safety and how do you treat gun wounds. That one recurs. Another one has to do, what was the other one? Having to do with ham radios, how to properly use it and all that. And I think there's a licensing course. I'm like, well, that doesn't mean anything. Licensing, like, what's that all about? But yeah, the point was well taken as to, you know, okay, so this is how you use a ham radio and all that, communicating. And that's their main focus at the moment, it seems. Also, Dan obviously, you know, has been trying to push for certain legislation to be taken out and constitutional amendments, that kind of thing. So that's the main focus, I think, are these classes plus trying to push for changes in legislation.
The best thing I can think of for communications between the committees of safety and NH Exit would be if just one of them wants to join, or if you want to join, forum.shiresociety.com, or if they want to join the NH Exit Telegram group. Either way, we should be able to at least hear them or see them, see their messages during normal times. Of course, Therese Grinnell, one of the Exeters, who's more involved in other things than Exit, has mentioned that she's mentioned the usefulness of coming up with alternate communications methods, and that is going to be probably an issue, as I'm sure the people in Ottawa have probably already discovered.
What a situation. I can't believe what's going on up there.
Yeah, they were definitely having issues with communication. A lot of the streaming people who were streaming video, things like that, had their accounts, I believe, suspended and or restricted, and or the cellular providers, I think, even at some point, were cutting people like off in some way or preventing them from streaming or something.
Well, there's this theory that back in the 80s, the communist government in Poland became so obsessed with stopping communications that they banned printing presses, and then they banned paper, and then they banned onion skins because people were using onion skins as paper. So once onions were removed from the stores to keep people from communicating, they had reached what we call the onion moment in more ways than one. And so Ottawa is headed fast toward the onion moment. When you reach the onion moment, you can no longer govern.
Penguin, did you actually see somebody report that they believe they were cut off from their cell phone communications? I mean, I watched multiple streams in the last 2 days and I didn't see any of them.
Yeah, so there were at least a couple of people who had I was actually watching a live stream at the time, or I'm sorry, no, it wasn't a live stream explicitly because of that, and another person who was also doing live streaming also was running into problems that he was talking to during the non-live stream.
We're continuing to record. By the way. For broadcast later. If no one else has anything to add, I'll continue reading the Red Meat article from the Conway Sun. Quote, trying until recently to downplay the secession idea. Now they're ready to activate the plan. This past week, CACR 32 came before the State House Federal, the House State Federal Relations and Veterans Affairs Committee. Sponsored by Rep. Mike Sylvia, the proposed amendment reads in part, subquote, the state peaceably declares independence from the United States and proceeds as a sovereign nation, unsubquote. Friday, the committee voted to recommend CACR 32 inexpedient to legislate. Hopefully the legislature will vote to adopt the recommendation, but the writing is on the wall. This is merely the beginning. State Rep. Israel Piedera found the committee, I hope I'm pronouncing Piedera's name correctly, found the committee's discussion eye-opening and very troubling. Some Republican members were more concerned with whether secession could be successfully implemented than with the concept itself. According to Piedra, Committee Chair Al Baldassaro agreed with the concept of secession and lamented that a sufficient plan does not currently exist to carry it out. Yikes.
Do we need a plan? I mean,
unquote.
The first thing is you need a constitutional amendment to decide whether or not you want to go independent. And then you would need laws thereafter, but it wouldn't be in the constitutional amendment itself. And there's already been planning, you know, in some respects, because we've had, you know, frequently asked questions that people have asked and answered. And it's not like there weren't any questions that were asked during the hearing that weren't answered. I don't believe anyway.
So Anna Stanitz, whose dad ran the Slovenian referendum in 1990 on independence, she says, actually, you can never start too soon with planning, especially economic planning. However, there are serious limits on what we can actually do with our small group at this point. We have to almost like create a larger group to get experts on lots of different things or different plans. Like I have pushed into some of the planning a little bit. I wrote an article about New Hampshire in relation to NATO and alliances and stuff like that. And no one cared. I mean, I can't tell you how little people cared about this article. And that's because it's viewed as putting the chicken before the egg, right? Or the egg before the chicken or whatever. So I mean, I'm trying, but I'm finding that doesn't get anywhere because we don't have the independence yet, or we're not close to independence yet.
Yeah. You're going to get criticism whenever you try to change anything. And, you know, the critics are going to pull whatever they can, you know, to try and make you look bad. And it's like, no, there's lots of answers. There's Alu has like a whole book on it with answers. I mean, I don't know how much planning can you do beyond, okay, well, we know what how things would unfold. I mean, not completely, because obviously we don't know what, you know, the United States government would do. We don't know what Canada would do. But if you look at other examples, we certainly have an idea of what theoretically should unfold. And then, you know, a lot of times, a lot of the things that people think, you know, the plans that people think, it's mostly down to, they just don't understand how things already work, like Social Security. They don't understand that it's, birth certificates is another good thing. Like, not birth certificate, but citizenship. Citizenship is for the United States is if you're born in the United States. There's not, you don't need a law in New Hampshire in regards to that. You might need maybe we need a law. I don't even think we need to change the law in terms of citizenship, because you have citizenship in New Hampshire also, already, although, I mean, maybe there would need to be some adjustments there. But anyway, the point is that you don't lose your U.S. citizenship if New Hampshire declares independence unless the U.S. government, you know, does something. But if you look at other examples where, like, for example, part of the border changed with Mexico and the United States. And when that happened, it has to do with like a treaty between the U.S. and Mexico, and it follows the river. And I guess basically there was some land where there was a town on a town, and the river changed, so it became part of Mexico. But those people who were born in the United States still remained U.S. citizens who were born in that town because they, at the time in which the birth occurred, that was part of the United States. And theoretically, there should be no difference between that and New Hampshire independence. So,
you know, it's funny, if they want us to make a plan, we have to have a means of distributing the plan to the public. And so we used to have that, like in the form of our YouTube channels, which have been deplatformed. We have Free Talk Live. They put a drone through their window to partially deplatform them. They've tried to take them off, you know, people have tried to take them off of various radio stations. Library, which is the alternative to YouTube, they're shaking it down for $2 million. So we they're interfering with our ability to make an independence plan. The people who say we can't have independence because there's no plan, the government is interfering with the planning capacity because it's interfering with our ability to communicate.
I think it's just malice. It's malicious. You know, to say we don't have a plan. I mean, what do you think all of these town hall meetings are that you've been publishing? This is part of the planning process. It's asking questions. But if people don't come in, if they're not willing to participate, those who are against the idea of independence, how are you supposed to counter their, you know, concerns? And the concerns that they brought up at the hearing were all countered. So, yeah, I mean, it sounds a little ridiculous. I think it's just malicious, and they don't want independence. And so they're going to say, you know, anything to discredit you that they can, even if it's a lie.
Yeah, I'm here to tell you, Slovenia didn't have a plan. Yeah. They still came out way ahead. Yeah, that's a good point. Steven Axelman in the chat, he says, quote, how much worse can we do than the current trajectory of this country, unquote. And I would correct that word is not country, it's empire.
Yeah.
but thank you, Steve. But yeah, we're not competing with perfect here. Someone was telling me the other day on the radio that I was crazy. I tell you, I think you're crazy for doing this. And I should have said this, but I didn't. I said, okay, so the faction that thinks you're the pro-federal faction, you're supporting the continued rule of the organization that's apparently trying to get us into a nuclear war with Russia and half the Americans you ever met being killed. That's just normal business as usual, but we're crazy.
I mean, you know, I'll give them credit. I mean, we are talking about something that is a little bit on the edge, but I don't necessarily think it's you know, beyond something that we should be I mean, to say that we shouldn't be talking about it is, I think that's ridiculous. This is something we should be talking about, and you know, what is crazy today, you know, will make a lot more sense potentially tomorrow, and you won't get to tomorrow if you don't talk about it today. So
It's actually only on the edge inside this empire. It's normal everywhere else, pretty much, because there were 50 countries roughly in 1900, and now there are about 200. So it's just a normal process in modern times for the number of countries to increase and the number of independence drives to increase.
It's only crazy if everybody speaks against it. But if people don't all, if not everybody speaks against it, then all of a sudden it's just controversial, maybe. But it's still not. It has a chance of happening, right? Right now, nobody speaks about it, so it sounds crazy. But if more people speak about it and talk about it, then it's not as crazy.
Well, and if you think about it too, I mean, part of what we're doing is because of Anna Stanitz's advice. You know, she's the one that says you can't start too soon with planning. But this is our means of starting the planning. You know, in 2016, we had a movement, you know, and we had a fair amount of publicity, but we couldn't really move anything forward because we didn't have legislation. Until there's the legislation in existence, people are not willing to do the labor of the planning.
Yeah.
I wish we could do it the other way. I mean, wish we could do the planning first and then the legislation. I mean, already when it happens, but that's just not how independence works, I think.
Yeah, and the truth is we have planned stuff out. We had we worked together on creating the constitutional amendment, and we've made progress on our plan, which is, you know, initially, you know, years ago, you know, we started an independence movement, right? And then we went from an independence movement to not having any reps to having reps. So there's progression there. There's now a plan, which is, oh, let's put together a constitutional amendment on independence. You know, we did that. You know, maybe there's some truth to, you know, some amount of additional planning is going to be needed. I don't think that's really something we would disagree with. I think it's something we would agree with. There is going to be more planning needed, but the constitutional amendment is not going to pass tomorrow anyway. It's, you know, there's going to be, what is it? What's the soonest it would pass? Like, the only thing that's going to get voted on is whether or not the constitutional amendment will be on the ballot for people to vote on, which means that there's still going to be, you know, probably years before it actually gets voted on. And then, you know, comes into existence anyway. So there's still plenty of time, you know, to continue, you know, the planning, you know, of the details.
Carla and Carla Garrick and Jeremy Kaufman, I think, and some other people were on a call. It wasn't just a call. It's like a show. It's a podcast. What is it? Free State Live. Do you listen?
I've heard of it.
Okay, so it's a great podcast, but they have started some of the planning process over there too, in addition to Alu's articles.
Awesome.
Which are just completely separate. But yeah, they went into a fair amount of detail on the implications for nuclear power in New Hampshire. So again, that's, you know, in and of itself, that's the detail, but they went into detail on the detail. So they're starting a bit of at least brainstorming on details.
That's great.
I'd be curious about the sorry.
Planning, the better.
I'd be curious about the money, of course. Ian, I know you probably don't remember me, and I don't have my face up here, but you introduced me to the Goldback maybe a year or 2 years ago, something to that effect. And that's that I've been trying to pass around and such, you know, as tips, you know, at coffee shops and such. And so I'm kind of curious, you know, it seems to be accepted almost immediately as a tip, at least. And so maybe that kind of thing could be written into a constitutional amendment somehow. That would be kind of cool.
Cool. Glad to hear that you really like them. I mean, what do you have in mind as far as an amendment? What would you think that should look like?
Well, the United States currently restricts monetary, currency to be only gold and silver by the states. They can do what they want, apparently, at the federal level. But you would think that if we were to create a constitutional amendment, it would restrict our basically federal government, our New Hampshire federal government, to only gold and silver or something to that effect. You know, restrict it, don't allow them to use credit. Hmm.
That's, you know what, that might actually be interesting, more from a limiting the ability of our New Hampshire independent government from being able to, you know, tax us to death, you know, by spending money on, you know, on credit. I mean, I'm literally repeating what you're saying here. But
to clarify further, are you saying that it would be a constitutional amendment in New Hampshire to basically tell the federal government, we're no longer going to take fiat from you and you can only pay us with gold or silver? Like, as far as like their payments to the state, is that what you mean?
Well, no, I mean in a new New Hampshire, you know, in a separate New Hampshire independent, would our New Hampshire government would be restricted still. I mean, it is today even, you know, to only gold and silver. But once we separate from that, the federal constitution of the United States won't apply to us. So we would have to essentially reinstate that restriction. So one way or another, I mean, I don't care if that includes Bitcoin or whatever, as long as they're restricted from using actual paper fiat or, well, even so a fiat currency is just a declared currency one way or another. So I guess that term doesn't really apply, but I mean, you know, just gold, just silver, just, you know, some kind of blockchain money, something to that effect for the New Hampshire, you know what I mean? But I think that's important too. Like it's part of the planning, as you were saying, Dave. And so it is still important. It's not the first step. It's just something to think about.
I had a call from one of the hosts at one of the big Boston radio stations. I can't remember which one. And he is trying to set me up to be a guest. Do you have, has Bonnie had any luck with that radio station in Lowell?
She passed it to me. I did give them a call back by last weekend. We've got an interview scheduled for, I think, March 19th.
Okay, cool.
But I'm not going to go. If I can't leave New Hampshire, and I said, hey, I've got a studio here, so I'm just going to call it in. So yeah, that should be just fine.
Josh, did you have any other thoughts of again? Because it's always nice to hear the new blood. You know what they think about what we've done so far. Did you have any other thoughts of how we could improve what we're doing?
At the moment, not so much. I've been when that new kind of subgroup was created in Telegram for NH Exit, I had some ideas, so I threw them out over there. I can rummage through those ideas and get back to you or something to that effect. I know one of the ideas thrown out there at the time was about ambassadors. I don't find that to be so important. I would want to restrict the government first and then open it up to, you know, adding powers to the government, you know. So ambassadorships or changing the name of the governor to president, I find that to be so irrelevant. Just to follow through, one of the most important things has to be money, because it's half of every transaction, just about, at least, still barter and such. But it's so important, you know, it represents your freedom. So that's why I'm always harping about that. I used to host a show in Danvers, Mass. When I was living down there. It was called The Currency of Democracy, and I based it on money, essentially, money and liberty, obviously. But, that's, I guess, a little bit of my history, I suppose. But yeah, nothing. I can't really think of anything to improve at the moment as a group per se. I also kind of fear kind of organizing it, and I'm sure we're all on the same page about that. You know, like the top-down kind of authoritarian idea.
Yeah, with regard to ambassadors, you know, I think like with Estonia, they just like their consulate in New Hampshire is just like a lady that lives in Portsmouth or something like that, and she speaks Estonian or whatever. They, you know, they don't think they have anything like that. They probably shouldn't even have an embassy. You know, they'd save money if they didn't.
Yeah, you're right. Like you're literally paying for that land and then building something on top of it. Then you have maintenance costs and like how often is it used? And yeah.
I should correct. I mean, that was Estonia's situation 10 years ago. It's kind of dated, so I don't know if it's changed since then.
Well, the point remains. I mean, you don't want to overdo it, you know, and you've actually got a budget, you know, even though, you know, it's all stolen money in the first place. But yeah, you'd still have to think about it.
All right. Well, if no one else has anything else to add, I think I'll probably go ahead and log out.
I just noticed there's a secession panel discussion going to be happening at the Liberty Forum. Looks like coming up March 6th, so it's a couple weeks away. I will do my best to. I'm planning on being there, repping the Goldbacks, but I will break away from the table and go and set up a camera and make sure I get document that panel.
Awesome.
I believe Russell Canning is back in state shortly, too, which will be a big boon.
Like for good? Like moving back or just visiting again?
Well, I think he's a trucker, so you know he's renting a place. I don't know how permanently.
All right. Well, that's a step in the right direction because he used to be based out of Texas as a trucker. So he's, I'd rather have him here.
He's in the Keene area, I believe. He came out to one of our meetups here the other day.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I love Russell. He's the reason I moved to Keene.
Where are your meetups? I'm sorry.
There's two meetups in actually there's three meetups in Keene. But there's a Social Sunday meetup that's on the calendar. It's at 5:30 every Sunday, and that's a libertarian meetup. And then there's a crypto meetup on like Fridays at 5:30. So it's on the FSP calendar. If you go to fsp.org or if you go to freekeen.com, there's also a calendar there you can look at for the meetups.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
That's all I got, guys. I've got a great day.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here, guys.
Bye-bye, everybody.